WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in, second hour here on Monday morning, and it is Money Monday. That means it is time to speak with Manny, the Money Man Resendiz of Euclid Financial Services. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. Pleasure to be here as always.
It's great to have you here, especially because, you know, we're at a time of great uncertainty, and I need your expertise. Is it going to rain?
Well,
no, not that kind of uncertainty.
My crystal ball is a little cloudy, but we'll see how it works.
So I can only imagine what things must be like on a daily basis for you guys over at the office at Euclid. I hear the Money Minute each day here on WBSM, and you know, you hear what's going on with the market. You hear the concerns that people have. Are you still talking folks off the ledge, or you think people are kind of starting to come around to the fact that, you know, there are these periods of uncertainty?
I think it's a little bit of both. It comes down to whether or not they've taken the time to be prepared and understand what their actual retirement plan is, or if they're just kind of floating out there and they're going, I hope everything's going to work out okay. What we're going through right now isn't anything new. If we kind of look back at history, there's always some kind of turbulence going on at any given point in time. Think 2008. Think the housing crisis, think the dot-com bubble, think the 90s, the 70s, the 80s. Every decade seems to have this period of uncertainty. And so when you're getting ready to go into retirement, it's not about what's going on around outside of you. It's, did you take the steps to be ready for your own retirement? And regardless of what's going on the outside world, yeah, it'll have an impact on you, but it shouldn't be the most important impact.
And I think somebody who is nervous about it hears that and they say, yeah, but are you just trying to, like, you know, sugarcoat the way things are going? But I look at this, and you mentioned these other financial crises we've been through. That gives you data points, and that shows you what it's like. I mean, obviously, every period of uncertainty is different, and every person's retirement is a little bit different, but it shows you that you can still retire even when things are uncertain.
That's exactly it. There are a couple of key things that you have to do in order to be able to retire. And they're not anything crazy. It's more of take inventory of where you are, right? What do you have available for you for retirement? Do you have Social Security benefits? Do you have pensions? Do you have rental income? Do you have 401ks? What are you going to draw on? And then the next step is, well, how do you want to live? What's your lifestyle look like? What's that day-to-day life? Because the way you live while you're working isn't going to be much different than the way you are in retirement. The only thing that'll be different is you'll have more free time to indulge in the things that you like rather than having to get up and go to work every day for a paycheck. And so when you see these periods of uncertainties, the first thing that goes into the back of our head is, I can't retire. I don't have enough. If the market crashes, I can't survive. I've already gone through 2008. What else am I going to go through? And so you start to kind of talk yourself into the spiral of that you haven't done enough, when sometimes you just need to talk to a professional to say, where am I? Am I going to be okay? And then what is my retirement really going to look like?
And we're actually in an interesting economy these days too, because there are a lot of jobs that are available. Yep. And if people maybe want to retire but can't fully retire, there's options there for them to be able to do something else. It doesn't have to be what they're doing right now, because maybe they're not ready to just stop working, but maybe they're just ready to stop working where they've been working.
And that's a really good point, because sometimes you envision yourselves, I'm going to retire, I'm going to stop working, and that's it. Quit cold turkey, light your time card on fire, and never go back again. But then there's some of us that, well, we need to phase into retirement, right? The idea of stopping going to work 40 hours a week to a dead stop is scary. And so maybe we go down to 3 days a week. Maybe we'll work out an agreement with our employer where we'll consult a little bit and maybe train the new people but not do the full job. Or we just leave the industry completely and we do something different that's completely out of left field, right? If you're a mechanical engineer one day, but the next day you decide you're going to be a part-time landscaper, fine. It's whatever is going to allow you to retire but also still give you something to keep you busy, maybe earn a little bit of an extra money, but at the same point in time, remind you why you retired in the first place, right? If we quit cold turkey, sometimes we forget why we retired. If we go into work 1 or 2 days part-time, well, we remember why we retired in the first place once we start talking and get going.
And, you know, there's also the difference between the job that you have to have and the job that you want to have. And, you know, one of the things that I've always said I'd love to do is I'd love to be a train conductor or a train engineer.
Yep.
You know, I would have loved to have worked at Edenville in the season. You know, it's, and it would be nice to be able to do that and not have to depend on that to be my income. And then if they say at the end of the season, hey, we're not bringing you back, it didn't work out, I'm like, okay, fine. At least I got to try out this dream and it didn't hurt me financially.
Exactly. That's what we call the hobby job. And your hobby job is just one component of your retirement. It's either something to give you purpose or it's something to help fill in one of your income streams so that you don't have to turn on some of your other accounts in the beginning. The thing that gives people comfort, or at least from our point of view when we're talking to them in the conference room, it's not so much saying you've got X amount of dollars, you're good. Anybody can say that, anyone can do that. What you're looking for is, where are my guaranteed sources of income? What's the money that has to come in so that I can keep my lifestyle and I don't have to change the way I live? What's my predictable income, the money that I'm going to turn on and off throughout the year so that when I want to do something above and beyond my day-to-day routine, I've got that cash ready and it's not a surprise. And then the last is your flexible income, and that's to keep up with inflation or life. And that's that 5 or 10 years down the road when you know you're going to need it, but you just don't need it today. So you have it set off to the side. It's a little more than your rainy day fund.
I've seen an increase lately because we write a lot of stories about new businesses that pop up.
Yep.
And so I've seen an increase lately in people who retired from a job but then started a business. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, gee, I guess retirement isn't as, you know, much of an option as it sounds like if these people have to go out and then start a business afterwards. But what I've found in talking to a couple of these people is it was smart planning.
Yeah.
It was smart planning that allowed them to retire when they were able to retire, but then they also said, but I don't want to just sit around the house. I want to do something. And then they got to kind of live out this dream and take that chance. And they all have the same mindset of, I'm going to try it. And if it doesn't work, I won't be devastated by it.
That's exactly it. When you have that foundation, like you were talking about, where you know you can get up every day and you got food, shelter, clothing, medication always covered. And so the only thing you have to remember is what day of the week it is and what you're having for lunch. That's a pretty good day for retirement. And so if part of your retirement dream was you were going to own, I don't know, an ice cream truck, or you were going to start a new company, whatever it was that you were going to do, well, you have the financial security to take the risk. And if the only thing you're going to lose is your initial investment for opening the business, well, then fine. Right? It's no different than us taking a vacation we didn't like. Right? Mm-hmm. We all have those moments where we look at our significant others and we go, I don't know why we decided to do this.
Why did we go to New Jersey?
That's exactly it. I mean, the Garden State does not sound as much fun as it should. no offense to any of our New Jerseyans. But exactly what you're talking about. If you have the planning and you have the time to understand what you want your retirement to look like, then you can either put the pieces in place on yourself, or you can work with a professional like us here at the Retirement Factory in Euclid Financial Services, where we can make sure that all of your accounts are playing nice, and now you have the ability to retire and then do what you choose to do with your free time, not worry about how you're going to pay for the next bill.
But with that in mind, so people are looking at the possibility of retirement, and they might be at the point where you know, they're feeling insecure about yeah. where things are going, but yet they're far enough away that they think they've got some time, that they can kind of ride it out, but they're in they're probably in the most uncertain period because for them, the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
But yet they don't want to think that it's also right around the corner.
Well, and what you're talking about is you're not quite in your working years, right? Because you're not at the beginning of your career. You're not 25 or 35, but you're also not retiring in the next year. It's that ready-to-be-ready window that we call or that we talk about on the show. You're generally in that 5-year window before retirement. And so you feel like every one of your decisions is magnified 1,000 times because you remember 2008, but you were young enough to say, I can ride it out. But now you're closer to the finish line. And so a 10% or 25% drop in the market is scary. It has an impact. And so you're kind of stuck at this in-between place of, do I go extremely safe, which has its own problems, or do you keep riding it out and keep your fingers crossed and have that anxiety and popping tums every day to make sure you can actually retire? What we found is that, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, if you know what you want your retirement to look like, you can start to give your money a job or a role. What has to be there that you can't gamble or risk? What's okay taking a little bit of risk because you know you're not going to touch it in a little while? And then what's the money that, who cares, let it ride because you're never going to touch it until inflation catches up with you? And so in order to get to that place, you want to ask yourself, when do I really want to retire? What is my lifestyle going to look like? And then assign your money a role so that no matter what happens in the market, yeah, you know, some stuff is going to move, but you're not going to, you know, hide once the market crashes. You want to stay in that place where you can keep everything organized and have money designed to do either safe investments or riskier because you're keeping up with inflation.
Because you probably got people who are panicked to the point where if they're not talking to a professional, you know, they're taking all their paycheck and they're just putting it aside and they're living as frugally as possible right now because they're thinking about, I'm going to need that money later. Yep. And they don't realize that there can be a balance.
That's it. Well, and that's exactly it. Balance is probably the best way to describe it. You're just like in your own day-to-day life, you're never going to eat steak every single day. I mean, it may sound great in the very beginning, but then after a while, you're going to start to get bored with it, or you're going to start to have health issues because you're not getting enough other pieces in. It's okay to have a vegetable. It's okay to have a starch. It's okay to maybe have chicken instead. That's what your portfolio and your retirement plan should look like. There should be a little bit of everything because everything has a specific role. You're either going to have safety, you're going to have growth, or you're going to have stability. Those are kind of your three categories, as long as you have those in there, and then start to define how you're going to use them, whether it's on a monthly basis or on an annual basis. You can give yourself a lot of flexibility and, more importantly, the ability to sleep at night when the world is losing its mind.
And you mentioned the word inflation, which I think is a big part of people's financial concerns because we've just gone through a period of big inflation. Yep. And now, you know, the news tells us that that might be going down a little bit. But then you see everything going on with the budget, and that might mean that it might go up again in a couple of years. So you might be okay now, but then in a couple of years, it might go back up again around the time that you're looking to retire. So just that word, I'm sure, creates a lot of hesitation and paranoia with people.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as you hear the word inflation, and if it's not to fill your tires or the basketball, you're kind of in trouble. The short answer, inflation doesn't have to be scary, but it also can't be ignored. That's the problem with inflation, is when we think it's never going to catch up to us and we stop paying attention to it, well, then it's going to catch up to us. And then next thing you know, we're deciding between food and electricity. Neither one of us wants to have to go through that. In general, inflation on average is around 3% over your lifetime. But that's an average. And so there's going to be periods of time where we're going to be really high. And then there's going to be periods of time where we're really low. Up until the last 4 or 5 years, inflation has been under 2%. So the fact that it's up now doesn't surprise most financial professionals because we're expecting this. It's the other side of the average. Mm-hmm. Think the 1970s and the early 80s, that stagflation period, inflation was super high. You could get a CD for 12%. But you also had to get a mortgage at 16. We're not quite there. We're probably in what we would call an average inflation rate. But just like you were saying, it can be scary if you've been used to prices being a certain level. The key with inflation, make sure you have some money set aside that's designed to grow at the same level or faster. And that's where your flexible income and your retirement plan comes into. Because as long as you have it set aside, you can keep up with inflation over your lifetime. It doesn't have to be scary as long as you don't forget about it.
Because I'm imagining that you have a lot of folks who are coming to talk to you now who are starting to plan their retirement who haven't been paying attention to these kind of things. So this is all new to them. So to them, they think that this is a panic period because to them, they're like, well, I've never seen inflation like this before. That's because you weren't following it before.
Yep. Well, and I would agree with that because we all think of high inflation of the 1970s, the early 80s, right? The stagflation period, you know, the gas lines, we think all of that for inflation, but we went through it in the 90s. So it just wasn't as bad because when we compared it to the 70s and the 80s, we think that's inflation. The 70s and the 80s is what we would call an outlier, right? That's not hyperinflation. That's that above average rate. Whereas what we're in right now is probably a normal level of inflation. Now, could it go faster? Could it be accelerated where it goes up faster than you and I anticipate? Yeah. But this is where being aware of it shouldn't catch you off guard. When inflation starts to go up, you and I are going to change things. Instead of going, you know, to Disney World for a vacation, we're going to go hang out on the Cape for a day or two, and we're not going to do anything over the top, but we're still going to have a good time. We're just going to find different ways to spend our free time and prioritize our money on the day-to-day stuff that's important to us, like food and shelter and clothing, and then just the way we live.
And the other part of it too is like unless it's on the news, you know, I don't think people are as panicked about it, but then they see it on the news and they think that it's a big deal because it's been on the news. And I'm sure that's what you're going through with a lot of your clients, hearing about all this big, beautiful bill talk and what it's going to do to the economy, because no matter which side you're believing, you know, how much of what you're hearing is practically applied to your retirement.
And that's the scary part, is because there is a ton of information that's out there. And depending on where you're getting your information from, it can be skewed one way or the other. In the end, you want to talk with a professional that understands what's going on so that they can translate it and put it into plain English, right? Because the thing that I find that I do the most and our company does the most at Euclid is that we just kind of put information back into plain English, because what you do on a day-to-day basis is something I could never do. I could never be a teacher. I could never be an engineer. I could never, you know, build a home. I could never do those things. But you hand me a slide rule and a bunch of economic terms, we're golden. And so that's where talking with somebody like our company is invaluable, because we put everything back into plain English in terms that you can follow, so that this way when you're hearing the things like the big beautiful bill and how, you know, the Congressional Budget Office says it's going to add $2.5 trillion to the deficit. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, we'll put that into plain English and go, well, this is how it's going to affect your plan. It's either going to affect it or it's not. There's very little in between.
I was talking to somebody about retirement because they mentioned the segment, and I said, well, what I like about it is we talk about numbers, not noise.
Yeah.
You know, it's about what actually is the formula here and what is the plan, as opposed to all of these other things. And as you say every time, if you have a solid plan, none of that other stuff really matters, because you've already safeguarded yourself against that.
That's exactly it. And if you're out there and you're looking for a plan, or you just need a starting point, reach out to us at the Retirement Factory and at Euclid Financial Services. You can hear us on the radio show here every weekend, or you can reach out to us at the office at 401-727-2727. We'll double check your plan, and if you need one, we'll get you one.
All right. Well, Manny, thank you for coming in and helping keep us sane with all this that's going on. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Sounds good. Can't wait to see you then.
All right. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll have the news. And then on the other side of that, the brand new segment, the Gen X Files, coming your way. Brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. We'll be right back.
Troops trying to make peace in Los Angeles. Zelensky plans to meet with Trump, and measles hitting a 30-year high.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump says he's ready to enforce law and order as anti-ICE protests continue in Los Angeles. The president spoke to reporters briefly on his way to Camp David yesterday.
And if we see danger to our country and to our citizens, we'll be very, very strong in terms of law and order. It's about law and order.
Those comments came after President Trump ordered the deployment of 2,000 members of the California National Guard. Governor Gavin Newsom criticized the move, calling it purposefully inflammatory. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky expects to meet with President Trump at the upcoming G7 summit in Canada, according to a post on Zelensky's official website. The meeting will take place during the Group of Seven summit, which is scheduled for June 15th through the 17th. It will be the first time the two leaders have met face-to-face since Ukraine's surprise drone attack on Russian air bases last weekend. It also comes as the Trump administration pushes for an end to the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. A Michigan man facing charges after he allegedly called in a fake bomb threat at Detroit Metropolitan Airport. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Michigan says that Charles Robinson was planning to fly to Los Angeles on Thursday but missed his flight and was told to rebook. Officials say Robinson then allegedly called Spirit Airlines to report a threat, saying there would be someone who was going to try to blow up the flight. He allegedly told the airline they're going to be carrying a bomb through TSA. Please don't let that flight board. The flight was immediately postponed. Everyone aboard was deplaned. Massachusetts, California, New York, and New Jersey are urging the FDA to relax restrictions on the abortion pill mifepristone. They say Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has used questionable data from anti-abortion activists to support restrictions he thinks are needed. Despite the Supreme Court upholding access to mifepristone last year, anti-abortion groups continue to target it. During a Senate hearing, Kennedy referenced flawed research. The states argue that there is no new evidence to justify any restrictions. The number of measles cases nearing a 30-year high in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said on Friday there are now over 1,100 confirmed cases of measles across 33 states. Last year, the total was only 258 cases. The rate of measles in the U.S. on track to exceed over 1,200 the cases seen in 2019. Federal health officials say 95% of this year's confirmed cases are people who are unvaccinated. President Trump got a warm welcome from fight fans at UFC 316.
The president showed up to the mixed martial arts event in Newark, New Jersey Saturday night to the music of Kid Rock while the crowd chanted USA. Trump was joined by UFC CEO Dana White, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Eric Trump, and Ivanka Trump. I'm Jim Forbes.
Rod Stewart pulling the plug on his next six U.S. shows while he recovers from the flu. The 80-year-old rocker made the announcement on his Instagram page on Friday after he had already canceled two shows in Las Vegas. Two California shows originally scheduled for next week have been moved to September. A co-founder of Atlantic Star has died. Scott Carr reports.
Singer, keyboardist, and songwriter Wayne Lewis died last Thursday, according to a post on Atlantic Star's Instagram account. The band out of White Plains, New York, had their greatest success in the mid-80s. Secret Lovers went to number 3 in 1986. Always hit the number 1 spot on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1987. Lewis co-wrote both songs. A cause of death was not announced. Lewis was 68.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Yankees last night, 11-7. Sox hosting Tampa Bay tonight at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
This morning, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies. We do have showers that will continue to roll through. Your high today will top out near 69, otherwise mostly cloudy. For tonight, we're going to be mostly cloudy as well, with a chance of showers and patchy fog developing after midnight, your low near 57. Meanwhile, tomorrow, look for lots of clouds, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It will be muggy with a high near 73. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
welcome back in. We're going to be taking some phone calls coming up, 508-996-0500. And we will have New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo with us in the next hour. We'll take your calls during that segment as well. Again, at 508-996-0500. We can also take app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And this week, we have a brand new contest for you to enter. We are giving away tickets all this week to see James Blunt at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. So if you would like to see the singer behind the hit smash song, You're Beautiful, and all of his other hits on the 20th anniversary of his Back to Bedlam debut album, then you can enter to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. They're brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and who sponsor all of our ticket giveaways here on the program. And speaking of sponsors, we have a brand new sponsor that we want to welcome into the program and a brand new segment as a result of that sponsorship. So it is time now to take a deep dive. Are you ready? It might get a little weird.
The Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. A couple of Gen X favorites are celebrating birthdays today. Michael J. Fox, who first became a star on Family Ties before going on to box office success in Teen Wolf and Back to the Future series, is 64 today. Natalie Portman started her film career in 1994 with Leon the Professional and went on to star in the Star Wars prequels before winning an Oscar for Black Swan in 2010. She turns 44 today. It was on June 8th, 1984, that Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time hit number one on the U.S. pop charts. It was her first number one single, with only one other single topping the charts. That'd be 1986 True Colors throughout the rest of her storied career. And she's on her final goodbye tour right now. Married with Children ended its 11-year run on this date in 1997. The Bundy family never hit it big in the Nielsen ratings, but the show remains one of the most influential programs in television history and helped make the Fox network viable in the late 1980s and the early 1990s. And in 1999, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, was released, making this date very groovy, baby, indeed. That's the Gen X Files for June 9th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Back Porch Sampler, where this week's flavors include ginger, grape nut, quad chocolate, and all your other favorites. All right, so there we go. The Gen X Files for today. We're going to have that for you each and every day. And I like it because it's stuff that we talk about here on the program, right? Movies, music, pop culture references. And I think you'll all enjoy every day. And who knows, these could lead to some talking points as well. But if you haven't been to McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream, oh man, I was there the other day, had the sampler. I'll have a story up today on that because you've got to see what this is all about. Six different flavors, or you know, you can get six scoops of the same flavor, but you get the chance to try up to six different flavors of their homemade ice cream, and it's all delicious. And what I love about McGraw's is that Matt, who makes all the ice cream over there, he just wings it. He just tries things out and says, let's see how it goes, and everything's been a winner. All right, 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. We have a lot that's going on. Of course, everything that's been going on in LA, I'm sure, has a lot of people's attention over the weekend. The fact that President Trump sent in the National Guard when Governor Newsom did not want the National Guard. And then now it becomes a question of, and as Governor Newsom said, you know, it's something that they'll address later, but it has to be addressed that the president did this against the wishes of the governor of the state. And that's an interesting question going forward, because when does the federal government intercede and actually supersede what goes on in the states. And that's one of the big questions of what's been going on across the board here with some of the Trump administration policies, is for a political party and a political group that was all for states' rights when it suited them, why aren't they for states' rights when it comes to some of these other things? So that's a conversation and a constitutional debate that will go on even beyond these protests. So, yeah, I mean, the protests have gotten out of hand, no doubt, but local law enforcement says that they had it under control. So that's where they stand on that. And it'll be interesting to see going forward, too, how much of this is the ongoing battle between Gavin Newsom and Donald Trump, because I've got a feeling that there's bigger implications for this on a political level than just what's going on now. 508-996-0500. Well, you were just waiting for me to bring it up so you could call in about it, right?
I was, absolutely. Have you been watching the footage, like the live, like video footage of what's going on in the streets out there?
No, I've seen some clips, but I haven't been watching it live, no.
Oh, okay. You got to ask yourself, I guess, when would Gavin Newsom and Mayor Bass jump in and actually do something? Or would they just let it keep escalating? I guess that's the question. Because at some point, it's got to get nipped in the bud, or it will keep going.
But I think that they felt that it hadn't reached the point yet where they didn't have control of the situation at the local level, and that by bringing in the National Guard, it only made things more incendiary.
Oh, so yeah, somebody to blame it on. Yeah, sure. I know, I've heard that Gavin Newsom was kind of equating it to, say, if a sports team wins, it's the same sort of thing. It's not, you know, it's no worse than that.
I didn't see that, but if he made that statement, I'm assuming that that was earlier in what was going on before, you know, things got out of hand.
It's only been what, 4 days now? So
I would think in that regard, you're talking about, you know, in terms of crowd control more than the actual actions of the people.
Yeah. Because what I'm watching live footage of, like, the front lines at the ICE headquarters in L.A. You don't see any local police there. You only see ICE and you see, the federal agencies there. You don't see any local police. So I think I'm pretty confident in saying that the local police don't have control or couldn't get control of the situation.
So when you say that, you're seeing the federal forces in there, what federal forces are in there? Did they take a step back because the National Guard were there?
No. Well, I don't know. Did they?
I don't know. And from my understanding, it was only 300 National Guardsmen. And is that enough to be the ones to take over?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been watching it this morning. I was watching it last night until I went to sleep, and there were still cars rolling in. There were still armored vehicles rolling in for the National Guard, so on and so forth. So, but I heard the LA police basically stating that they had it under control. They didn't need any help. But I'm not really seeing them having any kind of control, especially if Gavin Newsom and their superiors are saying, yeah, it'll be fine. People are just exercising their free, you know, their rights to throw bricks at ICE agents, you know. I'm glad to see that somebody's kind of stepping up to it, because, yeah, there is free speech, but free speech doesn't involve throwing bricks. You know, and I think that's where Donald Trump is actually doing the right thing.
Well, I think the right thing would have been to communicate with the leaders and to talk with them about it and say, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do, and give them that notice, not send them in, and also not send a tweet saying how, you know, things have been brought under control by the National Guard that was posted before the National Guard had actually arrived.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You can look at it either way, I suppose, but I don't.
Well, I look at it as a huge overstep of the federal government.
Well, do you think that local police and the, you know, if do you ever think that Gavin Newsom would activate the National Guard without Donald Trump's pressure?
I don't know if he would have, but they should have at least had that conversation. And then Donald Trump could have said, you know what, if you're not doing it, I am. But at least then they would have been in conversation with it. If this had been a red state, if this had been a pro-Donald Trump state, he would have had that conversation.
Interesting. I think that you remember back when the BLM riots were happening, Donald Trump tried to have that conversation. He said, you want me to help? You want me to help? And they said, no, we got it. We got it. While the cities are burning behind him.
Well, and he also didn't make that same decision then either. If he felt like he could have made it now, why didn't he make it then?
Because you can't trust some local politicians to do what the people actually need them to do. That's it. That's, you know, that's my opinion. I know you've got your opinion on it, but
all right.
That's how I feel. Have a good day.
You as well. Let me take one more before I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
All right. Have you ever seen so much turmoil just all over? Doesn't matter where. Ever since this man's been in office, I've never seen so much turmoil in different spots, all over the world, all over the country. It's just so weird. I'm just thinking, we do go through this with other presidents, didn't we?
Well, chaos is his brand. I mean, this is what he did the first 4 years. He loved to stoke the flames of chaos. But now people are more concerned because they're saying, well, this decision to send in the National Guard has people concerned that he isn't trying to initiate martial law. And I would have scoffed at that before and been like, come on, people, like, let's not be that ridiculous. But it's starting to look more and more like that might be the case.
It's like every day there's something different that this man is getting involved in, and it doesn't come out for the good. You know what I'm saying? It's just maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I think I do. We never had this with other presidents like this. You know, you had little spats here and there, but this guy's got, he puts his foot in places where he shouldn't, and he sucks. That's all I get to say about him.
All right. Really. Well, thank you for the call.
Okay. Have a good day.
And that's the concern here is it's not that it's law and order. It's that it's being an authoritarian. I'll get the words out properly. But that's what has people concerned more than anything is operating independently in a way that seems autonomous when the presidency is not supposed to be autonomous. 508-996-0500. Gotta take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? And welcome back in. You know, earlier we were talking with Manny the Money Man Resendiz of Euclid Financial Services about retirement. We talked about, you know, working a little bit in retirement. One of those jobs that might be available for you if you are interested in earning a little extra money after you've retired, or if you need to have a schedule that works around your school kids' schedule, well, Tremblay Bus Company is looking for bus drivers, van drivers, and monitors for the upcoming school year. I know this school year is hardly out yet, but they're already making plans for next year, and you could be helping them out. If you're interested in applying, go to tbcbus.com for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com, and you can find out all the information there about how to apply. And don't worry about not having a CDL. They're willing to train you if you're willing to learn. TBCBus.com, TBCBus.com. All right, I got one more break I got to get in. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news. When we come back on the other side, New Bedford City Council.